LeBron James has signed with the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm still trying to process this whole situation, ladies and gentlemen. As you've been following with the gray area, I'm not the biggest LeBron guy, you know? He's not my man's. But all the same, he is now a Laker. 4 years, $154 million to essentially finish his career wearing the purple and gold. LeBron James, a Los Angeles Laker. Who would have thought? From the looks of things, everyone thought it. Everyone knew it. All of these people now reacting to the situation. All of these people now making it seem as though it's something that they had coming. People, listen. LeBron was reportedly coming to L.A. a year ago. So don't pop your collar. Don't floss. Don't talk fly. Just sit down, because he essentially had his people put his feelers out a year ago. All the conspiracy theories, all of this, all of that, knock it off. LeBron knew what he wanted to do. Team LeBron, Clutch Sports knew what they wanted to do. And now LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker. So now the situation is now, the question is, the wondering is, how does Ja feel about this? You know, I've been pumping for him to stay in Cleveland. I've been pushing the young Bulls, the young boys, the young punks, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Julius Randle, so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, when the dust was settled, the one thing I was consistent on, the Lakers needed a star with this group. Whether it was Paul George or nobody else but Paul George, I said they needed a star. Paul George decided to stay. We'll get into that later. But Laker Nation, we got LeBron. And guess what? He's a star. He's the star of stars. We didn't get rid of any of the young punks. When you really calculate this whole scenario, right? Magic did a great job. But then what confused me was he went along and messed up the package by bringing in Rondo. Huh? You could have had Boogie Cousins for $5 million, but you bring in Rondo for $9 million? You had me until then. Magic Johnson, in that moment, won Executive of the Year and might have lost it. But you know what? It is what it is. LeBron James, let me say it one more time, is a Los Angeles Laker. Whether you like it or don't like it, sit down and look at it, because he's the best going today. You hear that on the gray area all the time. At this point, as Laker fans, we need to appreciate it. We need to embrace it. Put all the personal ish aside, because as you've seen, I've consistently said, since the signing has gone down, he's ours now. All of the extra BS aside, I am a Laker fan over anything. Am I a LeBron fan all of a sudden? Absolutely not. But I like to win. I don't know about the rest of y'all who cheer for the Lakers, but I like winning a whole hell of a lot more than I like losing. LeBron James walking in the door makes us a contender. Not a championship contender, but at the very least, in conversations. 50-plus wins walking in the door. And I'm here to tell you another thing for those who are, you know, they worried about things with the Lakers. Right now, before they even sign Lance, before they sign Rondo or JaVale, right? He already had more help walking in the door with the young punks than he had in Cleveland, who he took to the finals off the rips, including the coach. And don't worry about Luke. Don't worry about Luke at all. Personal preferences and how you feel about this guy and that guy, and he's a nerd, and well, all these things that I'm seeing, he can't handle this, he can't handle that. How is he gonna do it? Luke Walton is a Laker. He played with Kobe. He earned the psychopath himself, Kobe Bryant's respect, right? That's a key component. Rob Pelinka's one of Kobe's best friends, is the GM of the Lakers. Magic Johnson is a Laker. What you're starting to see now is much like how the Miami Heat borrowed elements of Lakers' success. Now, the Lakers are borrowing elements of Heat success. It's all in-house. Coach Spo was protected from LeBron because he was a Miami Heat. Much like Luke Walton is a Laker. Granted, he has things he needed to work on as a new coach. But the fact remains is he's not Tyronn Lue, right? When you had the best team before Kevin Durant, he didn't mess that package up. If anything, most would say he did a better job than Steve Kerr did. He's a player's coach. He's not too far removed from the court. Actually, he got drafted with LeBron. So it's a different mentality. So the short-sightedness of questioning what Luke can do and what he can't do, it's not about basketball. It's obviously personal. Obviously. Don't worry about Luke. The Lakers are good money. They're good. Y'all done messed up. Because now it's open season in every direction. And be clear, LeBron stands. I'm coming to you because it's open season. Y'all now welcome here. Keep cheering for your man. But all that us, all that we, negated. It's not valid. You need a password to get through the door, and we're never giving it to you. You cheer for one man and one man only. So don't get emotional with us. Don't ride this wave with us because you're not a Laker. You're a LeBron stan. Stay there. Take it personal if you're hearing this. I'm talking to you. Then I gotta shift over. Kawhi Leonard, huh? Spurs fans got their panties in a bunch. All concerned about what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. Getting emotional. Feeling like summer rain. Feeling like I used to love you. All the breakup songs you could think of because Kawhi Leonard is out the door, huh? You got guys in a feelings. Syrupy. Pancake syrup. Sweet. Talking about pony up. Listen. The player has y'all by the balls. He's riding the Spurs pony. Y'all might want a pony down, huh? Take a seat. The player controls the situation. Don't bring that smoke my way. Pony up. Put that pancake syrup down. It's sweet. Pouring your feelings out on Twitter. It's not my fault he doesn't want to play for your team anymore. It is what it is. I got guys on Twitter quoting Chet O'Hara and then not even putting the respect enough to at me. Then I got guys biting the stees and not even saying, you know what, that was a great idea. They just taking it and using it. It's a lot going on. NBA free agency. Players moving and shaking. New York City's literally on fire. And this is the gray area. True, let's get it.
Yeah. I tell them welcome to the gray area. And stay away just in case you ain't real enough to relate. Every other Thursday, politics to the chips. Get up on this wave. Now tell me what's to talk about, cause we the only thing to talk about. How you keep reality in check, just keep it real rap and don't gossip with the facts, yeah.
This is The Gray Area, and I am your host, Ray Jarvis.
Showtime!
Woo! What's good, people? As we get into season two of The Gray Area, you just heard me go in, ranting about LeBron James being a Laker, the strangest time of my life as a sports fan, still trying to figure this out, you know what I mean? Real quick, before we get into it, The Gray Area can be found on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, and now Elite Sports Radio, Elite Sports New York, you know, we leveling up, we on websites out here, you can find Jarv in the tri-state area. But beyond the LeBron James of it all, I wanted to get into New York sports. You know, it's all strategic here. The Knicks, the Mets, two of the most miserable sports franchises the city has produced. And for that, I needed to bring a Knicks fan who's gone through the wars, who's done it all with the Knicks, a person who knows what it is to be disappointed, elated, and throw the remote when John Starks is going 3-for-18. The homie, Gulfstream Fly. Yes. Welcome to the gray area,
yes,
bro.
Yes, good looking. Thanks for having me, man.
No doubt, no doubt. Before we get into all the negative stuff, right, we got to start somewhat positive. I know you had your eye on NBA free agency.
Yeah, I've been seeing this, man. It's a lot going down right now.
As a LeBron fan, you all won. This is a tough time for you. This is the weirdest time ever. How do you feel?
This is the worst time ever. Because now I got to cheer for a guy that's on the Lakers.
Oh, my God. It's weird. I don't want to cheer for LeBron, man. It's like I've been beefing with somebody half his life, and now I got to like you?
No, I mean, now we got to coexist, so.
I'm not liking none of your LeBron posts on Facebook. I'm not co-signing enough, and it's still beef.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be beef because LeBron's not going to retire there, so.
I think he might. 4 years.
You think so?
I think so. You know what I think is going to end up happening?
He only got 4 years left?
I mean, he's going to be 37 at the end of that contract. You got to start making decisions.
That's true. I think that's exactly why he went to L.A., though.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I think he's trying to set up after basketball. Like, you know, he's producing films
Absolutely.
And all of these things. So that's the place to be to do it.
It's all about business.
Why wouldn't he go to L.A.?
You know what? And then seeing Kobe cop that Oscar, everything Magic Johnson has done. He's like, it's bigger than basketball.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, my wild prediction is he's going to win the chip for the Lakers, right? And that 23 is going to get retired as a Laker. That number's going up.
He's wearing 23?
Yeah. Yeah. That number's going to... I'm telling you, it's going to be the weirdest thing ever. 23 is going to get retired in a yellow jersey, whole ceremony, everything.
Yo, that's crazy, man. I cannot picture this.
In what world are we in? This is Trump's America right here.
Yeah, it is. It's the weirdest time in sports. Like, actually, like, the NBA is looking like WWE.
It's crazy.
They setting up factions and all that. Coming out with crazy entrances. Like, oh,
It's crazy. It's like Golden State has officially become the NWO. And now we looking for Ric Flair and the Horsemen to figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
Sting to come back.
LeBron to L.A. is Sting in the Raptors or not?
Right. Oh, man.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, man.
Well, how you felt about Paul George staying in OKC, bro? Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that.
I didn't think he would stay.
I didn't think he would stay.
But I can see why he stayed. It seems like he don't want to be looked at as a person that's just bouncing around and he's just trying to build with somebody.
True indeed.
To win a chip. Like, they want to compete.
Right, right.
It seems like a lot of these guys don't even want to compete no more. They just want to be placed on a championship organization.
Right. They want to be in the mix, but they don't want to be the man within the mix.
Exactly.
That's fair.
So, I don't know, man. It's like the NBA is weird, but we're still going to watch it.
Everybody talking about, I'm not watching it no more.
Nah, you're gonna
knock
watch
it off.
It.
Yo, bro, you're refreshing your phones every time Woj says somebody signed. You're
exactly.
on deck. But, like, the thing that bugged me out was he did a 3-part series on HBO, not HBO, on ESPN about, you know, the whole process. I'm like, you doing this whole thing, you out of here. You sat down with D-Wade, I wanted to be a Laker, your family wanted you to come to L.A., and all it took was Nas and a party to solidify
come on,
it.
Now. Come on now.
From one underachiever to another. I'm slandering Nas, it is what it is.
That was a shot.
You know what I'm saying? Russell Westbrook chasing triple-doubles. Y'all just all gonna lose together, it's cool.
They was letting him grab some of them rebounds, man. I think so,
of
personally.
Of course.
Like,
Russell Chasebrook. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was going hard for that. Like,
that's a fact.
He wanted that.
You know what I'm saying? The way I look at it is this. He was like, Paul George is with Nas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like how Nas dropped Nasir, and then Hov and B dropped and blew the whole situation up. LeBron going to L.A. blew his whole situation up.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Underachieving.
Yo, Hov dropped the next day. How foul is that?
Man,
how foul is
I'm not
that?
Even going to talk about that album. As a Jay-Z fan, he's letting me down repeatedly.
I mean,
the only dude who doesn't like 444. Like, I'm like the only one.
Oh, you
one.
Ain't like 444?
Nah, the message is cool, but the music bored me. I'm like, the beat selection was thraka.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
He couldn't find a pocket on a lot of his beats.
That's true.
But at the same time, I'm the only one who likes Magna Carta. So, you know what I'm saying?
Magna Carta, I put that in the same boat as Blueprint too, like kind of like on a weaker side.
It has moments. You know
yeah,
what
it
saying?
Has moments.
Yeah. Speaking of albums, I don't know if you got into it.
Yeah, I heard it.
Drake,
yeah,
Scorpion.
I heard it.
What's your takeaways from that, man?
I like the first half way better than the second half, but the second half got a good four joints.
Okay.
But I feel like Drake is at a level where he can do anything.
True.
And
true.
it's gonna go crazy.
Drake is a
megastar. I don't know. It's like every great artist has a time to drop their double CD.
Right.
And I feel like this is the perfect time for him to do that.
You know,
on
I saw
the strength of him. The Nothing Was the Same album still yeah. being on the charts. Like, it's like,
you know what it is? I saw a meme someone was talking about when Hov took the L to Nas, he dropped Blueprint 2 double album. This is his L with Pusha T, dropped the double album. You know, to me, the best Drake project was If You're Reading This, It's Too Late, ironically, with Quentin Miller and his pen. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But that's my personal favorite Drake project because that was the most rapping he did, I felt like,
yeah,
out of all the
rapping.
Projects. You know what I'm saying?
That's the most controversial album.
True
that's
indeed.
The most controversial.
And that's what makes it spend in question. I'm going to keep it a stack with you, though. I didn't listen to it. It's like, when it comes to Drake albums, I can't... Like, say now, like, Pusha dropped. I dove right in.
Yeah.
Hov dropped, you die right in.
Yeah.
I have to build myself up to listen to Drake because it's like, he's not... The music is not for me. You know what I'm saying?
It's
work.
It's a lot of crying and...
Yeah. I'm not here for that. You know what I'm saying?
Explaining himself. Like, he's doing a lot of explaining of the shit that he's been going through on this shit.
Because when I listen to albums, usually I know I got a long drive. I put it in the whip so I can front the back without having to skip it. I can't do that with Drake. I'm skipping songs. I already know that.
Yeah, you're definitely skipping songs.
You know what I'm saying? I got one of my homies out in Canada. He podcasts out there. He's a massive Drake stan.
Okay.
He's rolling his eyes right now when he hears this. You know what I'm saying? But listen, my favorite joint was with Quentin. I'm not listening to Scorpion until probably next month sometime. Y'all can, don't at me. Leave me alone. You know what I'm saying?
You can wait.
I ain't missing nothing.
Once the singles dropped, then...
Right. What you thought about... Would you say that Cole's joint, K.O.D., was better than this?
You know what? I kind of would.
Okay.
Off the fact that I'm more of a lyrical message
right.
type of guy.
Right.
Drake is doing a lot of... Oh, this happened, so we doing it like this now. And, like, a lot of explaining. Like, I want to hear him build around, like,
right.
one subject. You know what I'm saying?
Like, to me, Drake is trendy. Everything is trendy with his projects, as opposed to being, like, a concise body of work with lyrics,
yeah.
structure, front to back. It's just trends. You know what I'm saying? From one, think about it. The first Drake album was one thing, and then by the time we got to Jamaican Drake, we were lost. We didn't know who this guy was anymore.
I hate
you know what
Jamaican
saying?
Drake.
And now is he Canadian again? Like, what is he now?
Yeah, he's
you know
Canadian
what I'm
again. All
right.
He's Canadian in Atlanta right now.
See?
He got a lot of
Remember
those.
He was Memphis Drake?
Mm-hmm.
Then he was Jamaican Drake. Hotline Blake. All right, look.
So where's Drake?
Listen. All right, so now we got all the hard stuff out of the way. We have a little fun. Now we're going to get depressed.
Okay.
New York Knicks.
Let me get my tissue.
Get ready, right? Some call the Knicks Bozo Nation. I call them Bozo Hoops. The Knicks have done a lot of things over the years that have confused fans, upset fans, and it's just like, it's difficult to support them a lot of the times. So, like, from your vantage point, what is it like being in... What is a day in the life of a Knicks fan, bro?
I mean, one thing I could say about being a Knicks fan, it's like the highest display of hometown pride.
True
indeed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you cannot rep a team who hasn't won anything in the last how many years?
43, I think.
Listen...
That's tough.
If you can still support somebody after that, it's pure love. But I was like bred into this, you know what
I'm
saying?
It's like being a Knicks fan is like being with that person that you know is cheating on you, but you love them anyway.
Exactly.
They're going to dog you. They're going to embarrass you in public, but you still going to hold them down. You know what I'm saying?
We got our moments, I would say, like Stoudemire and Carmelo just watching them be Knicks and things like
cool
that.
It was a cool
story. We won a championship, bro.
Listen.
But I don't know, man.
Listen.
Before I die, I know I'm gonna see one. It's possible.
Listen, y'all had everything right with that Melo trade. But I still, to this day, I felt like y'all just needed to wait. You know what I'm saying? He was coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was.
You gave up, what was it, Bellinelli, Wilson Chandler, shoot him up, Ray Felton, a few other guys for one dude and Mozgov. Yeah, you remember y'all got Mozgov in that trade.
Mozgov, like what?
You know what I'm saying? And then y'all got Chauncey Billups, and I'm like, I like him too. Y'all had a game against the Heat where I think it was a Sunday night, ESPN lit it up. Big three, the Knicks, big three versus Miami. Yes. Chauncey hit the game winner. Mm-hmm. It was lit.
I remember that.
Then he hurt his thigh, and y'all got beat in the first round of the playoffs. It's like a roller coaster with the Knicks. You know, I'm going to throw it to you. As many times I could watch a Knicks game, right, and y'all be killing for like 3.5 quarters. And then around the 6-minute mark of the fourth quarter, it goes down the drain.
It's the 2K syndrome right there. You know how, like, you be up 20 and then your men always come back?
That's like, crazy. Yo, but, like, how do y'all deal with that? Because I'm emotional. I don't know how to deal with that.
Listen, I done turned off many a games. I done stuffed my Knicks hat at the back of the pile, but it's like, listen, man, it got to be light at the end of the tunnel, man.
I don't know. One
of these days, man.
Yeah, y'all out here beating up Oakley in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? Jeez, I seen some.
Dan Charles Oakley out of the garden, like.
My man is a dictator, bro. That's white privilege at the maximum right there. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
I'm going to ban the enforcer. Whoa. Like, that's crazy. Ban the enforcer. Son. And Oakley's a real dude. Like, he came to my job once, and really, he was here for a basketball camp. It was him and Derek Coleman. The other net dude who caught the body. I'm Jason Williams.
Oh, Jason Williams.
Yeah, it was him because the basketball coach at the time, Jason Williams, was his godfather. Mm. So he was like, do this camp for me, come to the job, He brought Oakley. Oakley literally stood in the corner, like, it was almost like TV. He rolled the ball to the kids a couple of times, was on his phone, bounced, took a little jump shot, went back to the phone. Jason Williams is going ham, like, really doing his camp. And it was like a 3-day camp. Oakley was supposed to be there all 3 days. He left after 1 day, never came back. Sorry, he's a real dude. Like, it is what it is, right?
That's crazy.
So shout out to Dolan for violating them. I'm seeing over the weekend, word is they might be selling the team. How does that make you feel? Oh, see, he didn't even know that.
I didn't even hear that.
Rumors are circulating. Dolan might be considering selling.
Yeah, man, it might be time.
It
might be time to start rooting for the Nets, man. But it's like, my whole life I've been a Knicks fan. All my uncles, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they'll be disappointed in me if I come in there and be like, I want the Nets to beat the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but it's like,
here's what you could do.
The decisions that the front office makes is terrible.
Phil Jackson.
He violated us. Like, he did us dirty.
To me, he didn't want the job, and then Dolan just kept throwing the bag at him. So he was like, you know what, $12 million? So he took $12 million to troll. Because what did he do? He took KP, which he got right.
Yeah, that's the only thing he got right.
He threw away all y'all role players, Shumpert, JR, for a bag of chips and a quart of water. And then you draft a French Cruller on the way out the door.
Like, who?
you not here for Frank Nitti?
He did all right last season, but, like, he needs to break through.
Man, look,
it's an uphill battle,
France.
Yeah, he's not one of my guys that I'm like.
Make some crepes. Make some other pastries. A souffle.
Crumpets.
Some shit.
Yeah. So, get him out of here. They could trade him.
You know what I'm saying? You had Scott Layden. I think the last time the Knicks had a good GM was Grunfeld back in the 90s when we was kids.
Come
running
on,
around.
Man.
You know what I mean?
That's when it was good.
True. True.
That's when it was good. But after that layup, it's like,
yo, I was getting there. But, you know, it's like only the Knicks will have their star player. Euro, and they go for a finger roll as opposed to dunking it.
Like, come on. Like, I'm still hurt about that. Like,
y'all supposed to go back to the finals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, I'm going to throw Patrick Ewing a bone. It wasn't until maybe 3-4 months ago they was doing, like, 30 for 30, I think it was. The Knicks and Pacers rivalry.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
He had the calf injury, so he couldn't get up, so he had to go for the finger roll. So he spent years getting killed by everybody, and he was physically hurt. You know what I'm saying? Ewing is, like, the living embodiment of can't get right. Can't go to get an NBA job. Couldn't get a chip. Had to go back to Georgetown where nobody cared. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
His son got to the league. Pushed him out, and the irony is, the way the league is set up right now, his son will flourish, but he can't get back in.
So he's like a legend and not even treated like such.
Listen, I feel like John Starks get more love than you.
Yeah, he does.
You might see Hubert Davis get a little one. I'm carrying
Hey, Greg Anthony or somebody.
Larry Johnson definitely gets more love than Pat Ewing,
for
bro.
Sure.
You know what
for
I'm saying? Sure. But like you were saying, like leaving the Nets. I mean, leaving to go to the Nets. I was thinking maybe just cop the Lake of LeBron, you know? Just pull up.
That'll never happen. As much as I'm a LeBron fan, it's like I have to coexist with you.
Yeah.
Just we have to cheer
don't
for
worry
the
about
same
the
organization.
It's LeBron. Just worry about the wear like the lunatics used to. Just wear backwards. You know what I'm saying?
You're never going to see me post, let's go Lakers.
Damn.
You're never going to see me post, let's go L.A. None of that.
You know what? I respect you keeping that same energy.
Yeah, the energy is going to be there. Like, let's go LeBron.
Right, cool. So is it Knicks for life or not? Are you hedging your bets now or are you locking in for the long run?
I think it might be Knicks for life, man.
You like punishment.
Like I'm always going to root for a New York team. So if the Nets happen to come up, I'll root for the Nets because that's actually the real hometown.
True story, Brooklyn all day. You know what I mean?
But it's like I put in so many years wearing blue and orange. It's like,
you know,
I can't turn my back on you now.
It's that blue and orange, bro. God damn. So we have a mutual friend, our homie Biz. He has said for years,
yeah,
that Knicks fans like to cheer for their captors, whether it's MJ before or LeBron now. What is it about the allure of those two guys that seems to draw a portion, not all, a portion of Knicks fans in their direction?
I think it's just because the Knicks not winning.
Okay.
They want to see some type of victory, so right. They going to root for somebody that'll kill the Knicks.
True.
But still is like a good player, you know what I'm saying?
Give them the vibe of winning while not necessarily winning.
Because, you know, I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah,
but
let's talk about it. Lakers.
If it's New York against right. LeBron or anybody else, I'm definitely going for New York.
All right. And so how's it going to work now? Let me put you in this uncomfortable situation, right? MSG, right? Lakers' first trip to the Garden. The game is tight. LeBron got the ball in his hands. How you going to handle that? How you going to handle that, man?
That's just one of those situations that I'll handle it when it comes. I can't say that I'll be happy, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like the Lakers.
This is crazy to me.
On my court. Like
I have to cheer for a guy who I said hasn't been clutch his whole career. Now I have to hope he makes clutch shots for us.
So
this
is the most uncomfortable position we as fans are ever.
Like LeBron to me is the ultimate troll. Like it can never be taken away from him. He wore the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt after he won the chip.
He definitely did.
He's done a couple of other funny shady tweets and IG posts and now play for the Lakers when you know damn well we don't mess with you. He is a troll.
Like he went to he jumped in the lion's den.
Yo, for laughs, because he Teflon. I've been calling him Teflon Braun for like months now.
He is Teflon.
He can never win again. He's fine. So let me go play for the Lakers and BS for a few years and become a multimedia billionaire in the process.
That's crazy.
You know what
it's all business to me. Like that move was all business because he could have went anyway. He could have went to Houston. Could have came to New York.
It's not about winning. Although
it's not.
They might mess around and win, but it's not about winning.
Wait, Lonzo Ball and Kuzma?
Don't disrespect Lonzo, bro.
Nah.
Lonzo,
the crazy thing, I like Lonzo.
I love Lonzo. I'm gonna stand already. I'm gonna keep it a stack.
So I like Lonzo Ball. You know what I'm saying? Like his funny shot. I like his trolling that he do with his band. He
pops is gold for me.
And the pop. LaVar Ball, hands down, best dad ever.
Ever. I don't care what anyone says.
He's the best dad
Everyone
ever.
Wants LaVar Ball as they pops
facts.
In real life. Forget all this media stuff. You want a pops that's going to go that hard for you.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
And he for the culture. You drop a diss record on your teammates, you good for life with me.
Word.
That's something we would do as kids, like just make a funny rhyme. You know what I mean?
Word. Call it Texas man like, yo, I'm about to drop it right now. Look on SoundCloud.
And Kuz had his response on deck. I'm telling you, he was riding that Drake and Pusha wave. You know what I'm saying?
They told him to tone it down.
Come on,
man.
It's like
they
your parents
kids, like they
like
having fun.
Yeah, but you know, it's the Lakers. The brand is too big.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want to touch that. You could do that on Indiana or something.
True. It's good for the brand.
You heard Oladipo album?
Man. I don't got my drops this episode because that would have been a come on son right there. R&B albums. Get out of here, Vic. Work on your game.
Word.
But yo, all right, so you saying it's not necessarily cheering for your captives. It's just about wanting to experience some type of winning by way of basketball
right.
with these greats.
Yeah.
Were you a Jordan guy, or you were a Jordan basher?
Hell no. All my uncles hated
that.
Jordan.
Okay.
So it's like, I never rooted for Jordan. Like, mm-hmm. I always respected him mm-hmm. as the GOAT, but it was like,
I
was a penny guy.
I hated Jordan growing up.
Yeah. I didn't hate him, it's just
I hated him.
My guy.
I hated him. I'm going to keep it a stat because it was like, because to me, I'm going to admit it. Like, people, y'all already know I listen to the show. I'm a hater on the low. Like, if things is happening too much for you in the media and I keep seeing you on TV, I'm going to start hating. You know what I'm saying?
Enough is enough.
I didn't start appreciating Jordan at all until I became, like, fully vested as a Kobe fan. And I was like, I can't love Kobe and hate Jordan because they're kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
And then when I started exactly the same.
Right. It was and then I started watching like ESPN classes they would play Bulls games. And I'm like, this dude literally in the same spots that Jordan operates from in the triangle. Kobe's catching it. He's doing the same
exact
thing.
He's a shadow,
move.
Like
he's the ultimate shadow, bro.
The ultimate shadow. The shot and everything. Like his shot's a little longer,
right.
But it's like the way he pull up is exactly
like what kind
the same
of psychopath you gotta be to duplicate somebody move
like,
for move. Like you're a nutcase.
Now
he's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
And perfected at that. Win five championships.
Five chips. Playing multiple positions. Because at one point, I thought he was more like in a penny mold at one point.
Yeah.
But then once Shaq dipped off and he got that chance to flourish, I'm like, this dude is Jordan. Like, this is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When Shaq left, that's when Kobe really became Kobe Bryant. I was like, I hated Kobe, but it was like, damn. It's like,
you like the Chris Paul two-piecing, right? That was a good moment for you. Yeah.
That was one of the best NBA moments. It got to be top three.
You know what?
He gave him a two-piece, no biscuit.
And it's like because gift culture is so real now, I have to see that gift at least once a week. Once a week, I see Chris Childs, two-piece and Kobe. And it makes me sick. And it was a clean two-piece, too.
Yeah, it was a clean one. I thought the first one would have knocked his ass out. Like,
I give it to Kobe. He got a little chin, you know what I mean? It's a salute to you. You can take
a
punch.
Little chin.
You know what I mean? All right. So now we here. You were saying earlier, it got to be a light at the tunnel, you know?
Yeah, it has to be.
They drafted the Knox kid, booed him out of the building. But the last dude y'all booed out of the building was
KP. Became our hero. Like, he's like our hero right now.
Right. I like the draft pick. I kind of like the fact that y'all have a plan. The new GM is kind of a no-name, but the coach Fizdale, he's for the coach. Like, Fizz gets the players.
Yeah.
He's a good basketball mind.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that you're not trying to, like, throw money at bozos like y'all have done in the past. I think there's a light at the tunnel. Yeah. Yeah. Bad money behind bad money. Do you think that there's a plan going forward? Will it get better?
I honestly think so. And that might be a biased opinion because I'm a Knicks fan.
Right.
But I think KP is something to build around.
Mm-hmm.
If he like fully recovers from this injury and like he picks up where he left off before he got injured.
Right.
He's something to build around. And the Knox kid, maybe we're going to see. We're going to see.
I like him, bro. 6'9".
Yeah, I've been, ever since we drafted, I've been doing more scouting of him. He's actually a good player.
When you think about it, it's not many guys who come out of Kentucky and play for Calipari that don't perform at the pro level. Even if they like a rotation piece, they could play. You get what I'm saying? And Knox... I'm just thinking about the league. It's not like when we were growing up. It is what it is. You don't need as much to flourish in the league because there's so much space on the floor.
That's a fact.
If you got some athleticism, you got a little IQ about you, you can figure some things out.
That's true.
I think Knox can do that. And if KP comes back and is anything, that attention comes to him. The rookie's going to start. He's going to have every chance to be good.
And we can at least make the playoffs, man.
And y'all got bread next season. Y'all might be us. I'm celebrating LeBron going to L.A. Kyrie might pull up to New York City.
I've been seeing
Jimmy
the
Butler. You know what I'm saying?
I've been seeing him.
KD. Let's talk about it.
KD. He a free agent after this season.
He signed
right?
a 2+ he signed a 1-1. So he's gonna be free again after next season.
Oh man.
So y'all got options and y'all got paper.
If Kyrie come to New York, then I think KD will.
That
follow.
Would make me sick, bro. I'm gonna keep it stacked. Kyrie's on my personal list of guys
that
I love.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Eastern Conference Finals, right?
I don't want to have to hate him because y'all took Melo from me. Because I'm a Syracuse fan. So y'all took Melo from me. So I was like, damn, I gotta hate love Melo. Now you're gonna take Kyrie? That can't happen.
And LeBron on the West. So
but Kyrie is so New York, but his game. So New York.
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, there it is.
So it's like he probably played in the Cage. He probably played in the Rucker. He probably played all these places. And where else you gonna go?
True.
First of all, you're in Boston.
Yeah.
We hate Boston.
Yeah.
You should hate Boston just being from Tri-State.
I don't even think he loves Boston. I don't think so. Because they sent him there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I think he just wanted to get away from Cleveland.
Right.
So now it's like he's gonna be here for the next two seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And then hopefully no more knee injuries, because that's been kind of a thing for me.
Yeah.
Seeing him keep going down, it's like.
You know what it is too. Much like your back, once your knee go, it don't come unless you Westbrook or you made of some kind of different material.
Yeah.
Once your knee go, it's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like you dealt with Patrick Ewing, Chris Tapps, Kyrie.
Oh, Chris Tapps.
You know what I mean? You don't want no more bad knees, all right? But I think Kyrie did what he needed to do for his knee this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect going forward, it won't be as much of a concern.
Okay.
I think if you get a healthy Chris Tapps, a healthy Kyrie, Coach Fizdale doing what he needs to do to get them in the best position, I think the Knicks might be good. And I'm a Knick basher saying this.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Facts are facts. You know what I'm saying?
Facts are facts. Like, a good team is a good team.
Yeah, and it's good for the league. LeBron in L.A., Kyrie and company in New York City. Possible finals clash. Philly looking good. Boston looking good. NBA, as much as people are mad, the NBA are in a good place, in my opinion.
Yeah, kind of. It's like the show of it, like, LeBron going to L.A. and Kyrie still over here is like, just watching it, like, the show aspect of it is like, would watch that.
Vince McMahon is booking this.
Yeah, Vince McMahon is behind the NBA right now.
Absolutely. Because you can't tell me, right, that, like, if things break, hypothetically speaking, Western Conference Finals, and it gets close between the Warriors and the Lakers, right, that much like 2016, LeBron might not get some favorable calls. If Boston's about to get to the finals.
Well, you know that's going to happen regardless.
Right. Imagine the 2019 finals, Kyrie versus LeBron, Celtics versus Lakers. That might be the most must-see finals ever.
Ever, right. Because that's like the biggest rivalry of the NBA ever.
Right. And if two players who separated, who one dude didn't want to play with the next dude.
You know, they might be setting that up.
That's what it's looking like to me.
They might be setting that
you
up.
You throw Lonzo Ball and his pops in the mix for the character in the theater.
Sell a money. Hell out of that.
Money.
I didn't even think of that.
I'm here.
Yeah, right. That's true. My bad job.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, we going to see. But let's shift over. We promised the listeners to talk about the Mets, right?
Oh, God.
Whereas you're a Knicks fan, I am a long-suffering Mets fan. You know what I'm saying?
We
are in the same boat.
You know how I feel.
Yes. The name of this episode is Orange and Blues.
Okay.
For that reason. I've spent my whole life a Mets fan. You know what I'm saying? I tried to set trip and like the 96 when y'all won.
Yeah.
I was here for it. It wasn't until y'all became a dynasty that I became, again, I'm a hater. I started getting salty.
99, 2000,
y'all beat us.
A crazy thing about the 1999 World Series is that was my first year of high school.
Oh.
And I used to go to high school a block away from Wall Street.
Oh.
Like right across the corner from World Trade. And this is prior to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So when they won, our principal let us skip the first couple periods to go.
Go to the parade.
Yeah, so that's why I always try to get 99 and 2000 Yankee hats, God. That's when I really became like a super Yankee fan.
Yeah, I hear the happiness in his voice. I don't know anything about that. You know what I'm saying? All I ever see with the Mets, much like the Knicks, right? The Mets could be winning the entire game. And then the ninth inning rolls around, doesn't matter who the closer is. He's going to give it up.
He's fumbling. He's going to fumble, and then they're going to lose.
My grandmother told me, even back in the 80s when I was a toddler, that Jesse Orosco was the closer. He used to do the same. Like, the Mets have been losing the same way forever.
Like, what the? Like, I don't understand.
We throw the same money that y'all throw at Megastars.
Yeah.
They come to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play well.
They flop.
We got Cespedes. He gave us a year and a half. He took the bag, ran. Now his hamstrings are never healthy. All of a sudden, he's never healthy, getting paid $125 million.
Jesus.
Swindled us. The 2000 World Series, right? The closest five-game gentleman sweep ever. Game one, Armando Benitez. We had that game. I don't know what happened. I think he gave up a hit to Vizcaíno. Y'all won.
Yeah.
Blew the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, true story. 2015 World Series, the same thing happened. We dominated game one. Hispanic closer, Yerry's familiar, gave up the game in the ninth inning. Game five, we got closer.
That was heartbreaking.
Bro, I'm like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, this can't be life. Like,
that
the same thing happened. 2015, game five is close. Same thing happens. I think, like, Ordóñez is hurt in 2000. We had a defensive gaffe who cost us the game. Same thing happens in game five. Close game. Matt Harvey doesn't want to come out the game. Proceeds to give up the game. And we lose it in the crib again. I'm like, yo, this, like, all I want to see is one championship as a Met fan, bro.
That's true. You know, I think it might be a curse. The colors might be cursed.
It has to be.
The orange and blue might be cursed, man.
Even the Islanders can't win. It's like all these orange and blue teams can't get right.
Like, come on now. Like, when the last time the Islanders won a Stanley Cup?
They won four straight from like the late 70s to the early 80s.
Come
and been
on,
garbage
now.
Ever since. Like,
come on now. The same thing with the Lakers. I mean, the Knicks.
Yeah.
Late 70s, mid 70s.
Yep. It's like all about our city. Two teams, and there's one team that's the heritage franchise. Mm-hmm. They win, they make their fans happy. Then you got the Bozo franchise that just can't do anything.
The
right.
The B teams.
They tease us for an entire season. We start talking crazy because that's what we do. We New Yorkers, we talk hot.
Hell
and
yeah.
Then we end up looking stupid by the end of the season. Because I was always all over the Mets in 2015. We going to win the champ.
Yeah.
2016, we going right back. We get beat in the first round.
So heartbreaking. 2015 was heartbreaking, like.
Because the thing is, it was found money. We wasn't supposed to go to the World Series. And then we messed around and made it.
It was surprising. Because I was like, what? What? They making it?
And then three out of the four losses we had leads late and blew the game. Like, why you want to kill me? Like, why you stressing me
like,
out?
Like, this is, like, stressful, like.
It's not a healthy relationship.
It's not.
You know? Like, even this year, they teased me. They was 11-1. Mets on deck. It's going to be a surprise. Yeah.
And now look at them.
33-48.
Come on,
straight
now.
Basura. Like, it's bad.
Like, come on.
Yo, man.
This is a cursed colors, man. It's a colorway.
Like, change the colors. Wear navy blue like the Yankees.
Right.
Golly, man.
Word, man.
I don't know what to do anymore. It's like now, it's like even if I'm in the crib, I'm not doing nothing, and the Mets are on, I still find a way to watch them play. Just to watch them lose.
That's exactly how I feel about Knicks games.
But it's like it's a scarred existence because now when they start losing, I don't even get tight. It's like, all right.
It's regular. Like, right. It's like, it's
what
like,
else is on TV?
It's like second nature now. Like, Knicks gonna lose.
I pick up the remote. I went to Citi Field once. For this season, I haven't gone back since. I'm bitter. I'm going for 4th of July weekend, though.
Okay.
But it's like, because now I know we trash. It's expectationless. I'm just going for the experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not like, oh, we gonna win. We the match. We hot. No, I just want to go to Citi Field. See the sights.
Yeah.
You know?
Get
but like
good pitches.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like I watch the Yankees and it's like it's envy, man. We out here getting bargain basement players, and then y'all go and get the best dude available. Giancarlo pulled up, A-Rod, Roger Clemens, everybody.
We had some good players play on that field, man.
And y'all about like, to get
rings
Bryce
too,
Harper
like,
rings.
That's what it's about. Like, they won, like, how many in a row? Three?
Won three. Should have been four, but everybody say that 2001 series was rigged. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. That's been a big discussion.
You know? But, like, yeah, it was almost like you wake up, season starts. Regardless of how long the season is, Yankees are going to the World Series.
Facts.
End of discussion.
The late 90s is the best time to be in New York. Like,
not for me. I was the only Met fan on my block. When we lost in 2000, they was at my window. Like, yo, come on, son.
Yeah,
like,
nah,
I'm not
I'll
coming
see
out.
Tomorrow. I'll
nope.
See y'all next weekend.
They didn't see me for the rest of the week, son. I was under wraps.
You know they gonna kill you outside.
I'm looking at it like, we had Matt Harvey messed up the package. Now y'all got Stanton in his prime.
Ooh.
Y'all don't even have to re-sign him. He already comes with a contract built in. Y'all about to get Bryce Harper next, the best right fielder in the National League. Y'all might get the dude from the Orioles, like Manny Machado. Y'all just gonna get everybody, and we just sitting there butthurt tight.
It's a beautiful time.
I'm really about to set trip and start chanting for Yankees. It just needs to happen. It needs to happen. But yo, my man Gulfstream, this was a healthy conversation. New York sports,
yes.
LeBron to LA. A lot of things moving in the world right now. But in terms of moving with yourself, I normally ask people at this point in the episode to identify themselves. So whatever you got going on, your social media platforms, anything, any projects, what's up? Let them know real quick.
Yo, I got a project called Love and Other Drugs coming out. It's a nice little project, probably 10 songs. It's going to be crazy.
Okay.
I got, we revamping the podcast into a web show. So that you could look out for that. That's coming. What's the title of that show? That's going to be called What's Happening. No, What You Talking About This Week.
Okay, okay.
So you could look out for the fall. Look out for that in the fall. And we got the web series. It's called Price of Free Money.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Scoring the music on that. And that's pretty much what we got going on right now.
People, he's moving. The beats are fire. Any rappers listening to this show, holla at him.
Yeah.
He always teases us on IG with the snippets. The beats, jack of all trades, the rap, fire. Beats, fire. Podcast, fire. This man is moving.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me, too.
No doubt, no doubt. It's been a long time coming, you know?
Yeah,
but
man.
I was like, you know what? This would be the perfect guy for this episode, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
A New Yorker, true born and bred, in the trenches out here, you know what I mean?
Right.
People, this has been the Gray Area once again. Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, and Elite Sports Radio. As the saying goes, there is no saying because I don't have the drops. But I just wanted to say that because I wanted to mess with True. True, what's good, bro? Grown Folk Table Volume 4. We podcasting everywhere. Until next time, we out of here. Peace.
Whether you like it or don't like it, sit down and look at it because it's the best going today. Woo!
Perfect.